Oh, hey friends, welcome back. Thanks for joining me again for a brand new episode. This week we are going to talk about all the everything. I've got some stuff about the college scandal, Kim Kardashian. I've got some great Ask Shishi questions, some stuff I found on postsecrets.com I thought we could dive into. And then we're going to talk about our Speak Up or Shut Up segment that we're going to start doing on this episode. And that is posted in the Facebook group. So thanks to all of you who responded and voted. We're going to dive into that towards the end. The first thing we have is the college scandal. If you guys remember that, it was that big thing where Aunt Becky from Full House and Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives, I loved that show, where those two were accused of paying off someone to fix their kids' transcripts or grades or something like that. Basically, they paid high dollar amounts to get their kids into these Ivy League schools or these really good schools. So Felicity Huffman was, she was found guilty, I believe. She was sentenced to 14 days. So the big thing with that is that she got 14 days for this crime that she committed. But there's another woman who did not the same thing, but did something to try to help have her kid be able to attend a better school. So I did a little bit of research on this, and the mother who she, what she did was she had a 5-year-old child at the time, and she was homeless. Her and her son were living out of their van, and she still wanted to give her kid the best education that he could have. So she lied on the application for school and used her babysitter's address. She ended up getting 5 years, I believe it was, for that. And the big uproar right now is, how is that okay? So this mom just lied about where the kid lived, but Felicity Huffman paid top dollar, you know, taking that space from another person so that her kid could get into this great school. Same with Aunt Becky, although I don't think Aunt Becky was sentenced yet. I could be wrong on that. My take on that is they're both lying about something. I can understand the why. As a mom, we want our children to have the best of everything. And if there is a chance that you can help your kid by paying them off or lying on a application, I can see it. I'm not saying it's okay, but I can understand a mother's want to do whatever they can for their kid. Do I think that the punishment is sufficient or equal or okay? I don't know that I believe that it should be punished by jail time. I think a fine of some sort, pulling that kid because there was false information, I can get behind that. Jail time, I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how these things work, but I don't think that it's a fair sentence. Now, the amount of time, I think, is pretty ridiculous. 5 years for this mother who did that, I think that is just horrible. And then 14 days. I mean, I know that there are different types of lies that were done here, but it makes you wonder a couple of different things. Is it about race? Is it about being harder on the African-American lady versus the Caucasian lady? Is it about celebrity? We know who she is, Felicity Huffman. We know who she is. We know she's got money and that type of thing. I mean, there's a couple of ways to look at it, and I haven't wrapped my mind about where I stand yet. But I do know that it's not okay. And 5 years for that mother is just a bit excessive for me. Not a bit. It is very excessive. What's funny about this is I was looking at some of the comments about the college scandal, and several of the comments on Twitter said, Kim Kardashian, hey Kim, you should help this mother. You should talk about this case. Who's Kim Kardashian? Why are we reaching out to her for help, for legal advice? I mean, I know she's trying to do a thing and more power to you, but come on, for real. Speaking of Kim Kardashian, that brings me to my next topic. Kim Kardashian and Kanye had a thing about Little North wearing makeup. The article said something about Kim Kardashian gets into trouble with Kanye about North wearing makeup. So apparently, Little Miss North is wearing makeup, a bold red lip, eyeshadow, eyeliner, the whole nine, outside of the house, talking about she does photo shoots, she goes out in public, when she goes to balls or she goes to different places. She's wearing this full face of makeup, and Kanye has had it. So Kim has agreed that she's not going to let her daughter, North, wear makeup anymore. So there was a nice little conversation going on in the Facebook group, thanks to you guys who responded. I'll let you know where I stand. I stand with my friends who said, let the girl wear makeup in the house. You know, I let my kid wear it, but she knows she can't wear it outside of the house. Photos, going somewhere special, nah. Nope. Buy them a little $5 makeup kit from Walmart, especially at Christmas time. They're super cheap there, those palettes. Let them have at it. It's being creative. I used to play in my mom's makeup, but I don't think she knew that until right this second. Let them play at home. I mean, like, my kid is a very creative kid, super artistic. So when she used to play in makeup, it wasn't to be beautiful. She would do stuff like a zombie look or a monster look. But even if she did do it to be beautiful, a model, something like that, then more power to her. I mean, just let her play. Going out in public, not my thing. I'm not gonna judge moms who do a lot, but it's just not for me. The next thing that we're gonna talk about is Sam Smith, and he announces that he has some pronouns that he wants to go by. I say more power to you. If you want to be acknowledged by your pronouns, the correct ones that make you feel more human or more like you, do it. I think that in today's world, we have to be extremely respectful, and we need to do what we can to make the next human feel more human or feel like they are welcome and whole as whomever they identify with. That's something that my job is pushing for here in Nebraska, is the SOGI, sexual orientation and gender identity. You know, whatever you agree with or don't agree with, the next human, it means everything to them. So just do your part and be respectful and use people's pronouns as they want. So Sam Smith says that he wants to not go by she or he wants to go by they. Hey, more power to you. I will do everything that I can to, whenever I talk about Sam Smith, I will use pronouns respectfully. Okay, the next subject is going to be my Ask She questions, and I've got some good ones today. The first question came in to Ask She. My 10-year-old daughter has been friends with the same group of four friends for the past few years. The girls are all sweet, no drama, almost perfect, and we moms are an equally perfect match. Over the past few weeks, my daughter has been saying Sally is being sort of rude and making comments that are either annoying, hurtful, or bragging. I know Sally is a good kid, but she does have some attention-getting qualities. She is an only child and a competitive athlete, and she and her parents are very active in. I don't think these are bad things, but perhaps just some of the reasons Sally seeks and expects a higher level of attention. There are some behaviors that kind of grate on my nerves too, but I, one, can empathize as an adult who understands, and two, I don't have to be around Sally all day at school and afterwards. I've encouraged my daughter to be patient and play with other friends, as well as tell Sally, hey, that kind of hurts my feelings when you said or did XYZ. I know you didn't mean to, but I just wanted to let you know how I feel. But this is a lot for a kid to be able to say at only 10. So my question is, what do I do? It's breaking my heart. Do I let the girls navigate this themselves, talk to her mom, my friend, and risk a very awkward exchange in friendship? You're a mom of a daughter. Is it just this stage? Thanks, She. Oh, hey, friend, let's talk about this. There's a lot to unpack here. The thing is, in my opinion, yeah, kids will be kids, and there's different personalities. My kid has gone through the same thing. Do I think it's a stage? I don't. I think that this is who these children, who they are right now, is kind of shaping who they are going to be. And so it'll either stay about the same or it will get worse. Now's the time, in my opinion, that we start having conversations about boundaries and feelings, because the last thing that you want to do is encourage this friendship, this relationship, when it's not healthy for the kids. You know what I mean? I think that is a lot to unpack for a child, to ask them to have these conversations. But you know what? They have to start everywhere. Your child is voicing these things, these concerns, and these feelings to you. They can absolutely do it to that child if they care enough. You know, at some point she's going to wash her hands and be like, I don't want to be her friend. To answer your question, should you reach out to the parents? That is kind of hard because, like you said, that parent is your friend. I think my first step would be to have your child have a conversation, even if it is a passive aggressive type of thing. Like when Sally says something, maybe ask her to speak up and say, hey, that hurts my feelings, or why would you say that? Or, you know, like maybe Sally doesn't know. You know, we've got adults who don't understand boundaries and being rude or, you know, anything like that. So maybe she does just need to say that. And then if that doesn't work, you know, and Sally is very aware, then, you know, your daughter's going to want to wash her hands of that. And you're going to have that conversation with, you know, with your friend. And maybe even when you have that conversation, if it comes to that, just say, hey, you know, we love you. I want to continue this friendship. But, you know, my daughter is feeling a certain kind of way about your daughter. And maybe we can help them bring that together. Or, you know, what's going to suck is that if things go bad, or, you know, your friend sticks up for the daughter and says maybe your daughter's too sensitive, I don't know, like things will go left. Either way it goes, all you can do is have the conversation first with your daughter, because she deserves that. You're her mother, you're her protector. She's, now's the perfect time to have her stand up for herself, speak up for herself the best way that she knows how, and just stay in constant communication and figure out the best way for your kid to handle it. And then, like I said, just if you need to have a conversation with the mother, you should. Or even you can jokingly, not jokingly, but just like bring up to the parent, you know, hey, you know, I talked to my kid and this is what happened between the girls. Did you hear about that? Did Sally tell you about that? Well, what do you think? You know, you can bring it up like that. But I do think that it's going to be important for you to have your daughter have a voice and speak up, because she's going to feel much better. And we don't want to set the example of she's your friend, so just roll with it, because eventually that's going to suck for your kid. And we don't want to set that up, that no matter where they go in life or whom they meet, that they have to take that kind of thing. There are good people, not saying that Sally isn't good, but there are people that match people. I try to align myself with people who are positive and try to keep that positivity and just know me and understand me and can get through stuff and figure stuff out. You know, you kind of distance yourself from the people who don't do that to you. And with that being said, everybody has a bad day or has a time. And if you surround yourself with those people who are like you and share the same mindsets as you, it'll bring you back. It'll help center you, help ground you. So just let's start teaching our kids now what they should and shouldn't put up with. And also, when you have those conversations, make sure you get the whole side of things, and then always have in your mind what part could your kid have played in it, and then just try to talk around all of it. Always have your kids back, but always try to find the little things, because whenever we tell a story, we don't always tell we did. So just make sure you kind of talk to everything and around everything. I hope that answers your question. Send me an email and let me know, friend. Okay, the next question. I just had my first heartbreak. Where do I go from here? Oh, friend, I'm so sorry to hear that. Your first heartbreak. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It'll likely be the first of many. I'm going to just be real here. Just pick it up and keep it moving. That's my bottom line, but I'll dive in a little bit. Heartbreaks are not fun. They are not easy, but they don't last forever. And every single heartbreak is going to make you stronger and more powerful and more independent in your next relationship, because you're going to see signs of things that you don't want, things that you won't put up with, things that you won't do, things that you will do, that type of thing. I know that it hurts right now, but it'll get better. Tomorrow always comes. It's going to get easier. I promise. Do things to help you not think about the heartbreak, because it is going to take a little bit of time. Reach out to your friends. Go have some girls' nights or guys' nights. Go do something fun for yourself. Go shopping. I love me a little bit of retail therapy, or a lot. Don't tell my husband. But just, you got to go do things. You got to get out. You have to also allow yourself to grieve and be sad and, you know, have one big cry, have two big cries, and then move forward. Because if it was something that you can't understand or you don't know what you did, then likely it really wasn't you. So you have to find somebody who can accept you and love you and understand you. Or if it was something that you did, then, you know, figure it out. Hold yourself accountable. Try not to let that happen again. We learn every day. So just learn from your mistakes, whether they were yours or his or whatever it is. Just make sure that you are taking heed of these things and moving forward in a better direction. I hope that helps. Okay, here's the next question that came in. How to react when you're married, but your sister is dating your ex-boyfriend? Whoa. So your sister is dating your ex. The first question is, should you be upset about it? Should you be upset that your sister is dating your ex? Yeah. That would bother me. One, if he's my ex, I'm not trying to see him at family events or anything. If he's my ex, I want him to be my ex. Number two, it's weird. It's just weird. I don't want to know or see that my sister is dating somebody that I dated before. And you can be extremely secure in your relationship and be a completely happily married woman, but that's just weird. My reaction would not be good. I would be like, everybody in the world, and you want to date my ex? I mean, bottom line, if it happens, you probably just, if it's a serious thing, what can you do? But that is gonna have a little wedge in your sisterhood. I mean, I'm just being real. Maybe there are other people who are like, it's my ex, I don't care. Hey, more power to you. I'm just not open-minded on this one. I think it's weird. Even as the sister, like, I wouldn't want to date somebody that my sister had dated before. I mean, I don't even want to date somebody that my friend has dated before. So your sister, that's crossing the line, in my opinion. How do you react? I'd call my sister out, be like, really, out of everybody, this is who you want to date? And, you know, I've got history with this dude, and now you're with him. Like, we can't even talk sister stuff anymore, because I don't want to talk about him with you if you're having issues or if things are good or whatever, because I don't want to be able to relate, like really relate, to anything that you have going on with him. That's a new one, and I wouldn't be okay with that. It would have to be some boundaries of, I don't want to talk about him, I don't want to see him. That's just weird. But I don't know what that looks like in 20 years when, if they're still together and they're married with kids. I mean, you probably just get used to it. And I've seen TV shows about it, and I think I even know a couple people who something like this has happened and it becomes the new norm. But I guess it just depends on you and what you can handle. I don't think that I would be okay with that. Wow, that's a good one. That's kind of a doozy. Okay, so now we are going to talk about some post secrets. Have you guys heard of these post secrets? I actually heard about it on another podcast, and it's a thing, y'all. It is, I think it's postsecret.com, and people send in these like confessions, and they are just killing me. I couldn't believe it. There's so much good stuff on there. You have to go in and look. So I pulled three that I thought were pretty interesting and we could talk about. This first one says, I am sabotaging my husband's diet. Okay, why? I mean, there are questions here. I have questions. So I'm sabotaging my husband's diet. Is it because you don't want him to get hotter? If you're sabotaging his diet, is it because you don't want him to succeed in dieting? Is it because you don't want him to lose weight? Is it because you think he's eating too healthy? I mean, I don't know. I've got these questions, but my advice would be to stop, because you're messing with this dude's head. He's doing the hard work, and he's trying, and he's dieting, and you're taking that from him. So not even thinking about his health, but let's talk about what if somebody robbed you of something that you were working so hard to do, and just unknowingly it's not working out for you because of your partner, somebody that you married and you share your life with and you swore to be good to. That's just messed up. There's no right answer here. Knock it off. Post secret person, knock it off. Let that person die. Instead, talk to them about why you are doing that. Next one is, my mom had a massive stroke because I forgot to give her her meds. Oh my God, the guilt. Okay, so my dad, I've been helping him with his meds lately. He had a heart issue several months ago, and so I do his meds every week, and I double, triple, quadruple check those meds every single time because of this very thing. It's scary, and that's a lot of pressure on one person. Guilty or not guilty, like I'm neither on those, because I understand being human and forgetting, or you know, doing something wrong. You know, I work in the healthcare field, so I get it. You're human and you make mistakes. But oh my God, the guilt. Like, this mom had a massive stroke because I forgot to give her her meds. Oh, that's so horrible. I can't even imagine what that person is going through. That is some scary stuff, and reading this is not helpful for me because, like I said, I do my dad's meds, and now I'm going to have to check them 10, 12 times. This person should probably go get some counseling. That's what I'm going to say for that. And oh gosh, I can't imagine. Oh, and then hire a caretaker to help with your mother. That's what I have for you. Help. Get help. Okay, those are the two post secrets that I had this week. So now we are going to dive into Speak Up or Shut Up. That is going to be a new segment, and I'm going to probably pair that with, maybe I'll trade off and on, because I found some good whose side are you on's. So what I'll do is, on Mondays probably, I will post a question in the Facebook group. Just go into Facebook, search for Say What She and join the group. I'll let you write in and tell me what you think about these questions and leave some comments so we can have a discussion about it. And then I will put them on this podcast and we'll talk about it some more. Speak up or shut up. You and a colleague are having a discussion about a work-related situation. Your colleague begins to express their point of view, which runs counter to yours, and you know exactly how to prove it to be incorrect. You are both feeling the tension, and it's time to decide whether to speak up or shut up. We had some really good answers in the Facebook group, and I'm just going to read a couple. Jen responded in our Facebook group, "Oh, hey, Jen. It would depend on the topic, political or religious, I'd probably keep my mouth shut. If it was something like health or suicide, or whether the earth is round, haha, I would definitely correct them." Love it, Jen. And then Nick in the Facebook group, "Hey, Nicole." She says, "I think it depends on the work-related topic and also the person. Sometimes you can have all the proof of something and that person still won't get it. I also think if you're the type of person that can't have a respectful conversation with someone without getting heated, then you should just shut up. LOL." Love it. I concur with both of you there. Couldn't have said it better myself. You know your people, and you know if you can have a real conversation with them or a professional conversation with them, because unless you hang out with them outside of work, it's still your profession. You're still in that professional mode. So sometimes you have to shut up and bite your tongue. I want to say that I'm good at doing that, but sometimes I can get pretty fired up and say what I want to say. And just like, you know, the person that I'm talking to, but you got to know when to stop or just shut up from the beginning. I completely agree with you ladies. Thanks for saying so here on the Facebook page. Like I said, completely agree. It just depends on the situation and what it is. And it's also going to depend on if it's about somebody I really like at work. If it's about somebody that I really like at work, I'm probably gonna speak up in a very maybe nonchalant and respectful way, or even shut it down if I really like the person. Like, nope, that's my friend. We're gonna stop there. Just let it go from there. So I agree, and I think more often than not, I would probably just shut up. If we're having that big of a disagreement, or I feel really passionate about something, and I know that it will get fired up, it'll get hot, the situation will get sticky, I just won't go there, and then just kind of remove myself from the situation. They won't have a platform to speak about it with me because I'll leave the situation. Yeah, I like that one. Let's do that, friends. That's the answer. Okay, so I've decided that I am going to leave you guys with some advice for the week. Something to get you through your week. This is the one that I chose, and I actually found it from that new T-Pain show. Have you guys seen that? He's like going around to these different entrepreneurs and just figuring out how they started different programs and stuff. I'll have to get the name of that for you. But he said, start with what you love. If you love it, chances are someone else does too. I thought that was pretty great, especially for me starting this podcast. I love to talk. I love to give my opinions. I love it when my friends ask me my thoughts about things. So I thought, let's make this into a podcast. Let's talk to all the everybody. I love friends. Friends make my world go round. I've got a gazillion of them. And let's just all be friends. Let's do it. With that being said, that is the end of this episode. Please rate, review, subscribe to Say What Shishi. Share it with your friends. If you leave a review, I'm going to have some swag coming pretty soon. I will get your information and send you something out personally from me. Join us in our Facebook group. Again, just search for Say What Shishi. I will let you in. I am on Instagram and Twitter at Say What Shishi. Find me. Let's be friends. Let's talk it out. Send some questions. Inbox me. Message me. Direct message me. Whatever works for you. And I will definitely get back to you. Again, rate, review, subscribe. We are doing well on this podcast so far. We are only going to grow and go up from here. And guess what? I'm taking you all with me. So have a great week. We'll talk later. Bye, my friends.